Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss everything that's gone on in the world of Apple. There's not a lot this week, it has to be said, but we'll have a chat about what we can. Joining me, usual team, fantastic bunch. Top left, Adam. How's it going, mate?
Hey, doing good.
Have you had a good week?
Yeah, all right. You know, it's freaking December started already. What happened there?
So why haven't you got Christmas deckies up in the broom cupboard yet?
Oh, I should do that.
You should have some decorations, desperate.
Yeah, I'm going to hang some lights and stuff.
Yeah, mistletoe.
I'll do it for next week.
Yeah, do it, right? Flashing lights. That's what we need.
We'll get it all. Yeah, all controlled by an Arduino or something like that.
Oh, mate, that'd be awesome. And every time we say something naff, we get a naff reindeer to flash white lights or something in the bottom. about when she's asking me if I have some up, but I'm not sure what I'm supposed to have some up. Up what?
Christmas decky.
Oh, no, Christ. I got nothing here. Bah humbug. No, I only come in here once a day to work, so it's not like it's a festive area, so.
You could do it virtually, though.
Oh, on the thing. Yeah, I could do it.
Oh, yeah, virtual lights.
Yeah, no, I need to get on Photoshop this week. I must try harder. There we go, then. Next to him, Doc Rock.
Hi.
Where were you, mate?
Where am I?
Where was your note? I take it you were shit-faced last week. That was.
We missed you last week, is what he's saying.
No,
he's trying to say in the Ewan way,
my alarm.
We really missed you last week, Doc. Wish you were here.
that's kind of what I was saying. But
What happened? I must have missed something good. No, I was. I totally forgot to set my alarm, and then by the time I did wake up, it was mad late. And yes, as I think about it, I did go out the night before and I did this shit.
So, yes. Tide went on.
You definitely missed the fun show last week.
Just a little.
Ay-yi.
It was good. It was good.
You can Photoshop me in.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. You were there in spirit. And last but by no means least, our fellow drinking buddy, our fellow rugby comrade, and German market goer, twice.
Yep.
Sorry.
German market in Birmingham.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
But no, that was great.
We did do comparisons, and you said it was, you said our glue vine was as shit as yours.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. The rum punch wasn't bad, though, was it?
That one was actually pretty nice. I mean, I didn't expect it. I thought it would taste more like rum, which is not much, especially since they probably don't use the good stuff. So I wasn't expecting it, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, I used Captain Morgan run because I saw it, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Great to have you, mate. Come back anytime. The kids loved having you. They were disappointed when you went, so.
Yeah, I was disappointed too.
There we go. It was nice. It was a lovely
That's weekend. Really, really great long weekend.
And we won at rugby, so there you go. Started off with a win. Brilliant.
Just because I was there, right?
No. Now, I want to start with a shout-out.
Your talisman.
I want to start out with my cool thing, okay, because I'm going to do it twice. But this is a really good cool thing, and it really is important. This is a song, and let me just see if I could... Oh, I had it all queued up and everything. Git. This is the song. It is Christmas is Coming, and it's by St. Herbert's Roman Catholic Primary School. Now, I'm wearing that's a religious pick, and I'm an atheist, but I figure there's one time of the year, Christmas, you can really put religion to a side and just enjoy the month. So there we go. I'm going to do that. And the reason that I've picked this was done by one of our listeners. I'm not expecting you to actually hear it. But it's Nigel Milligan, who works at the school. He's the IT teacher. He's one of the listeners on BTN, and he's done this. If you go to, and I've put the link in the chat room, stherberts.oldham.sch.uk, then you can buy this single for Christmas and keep X Factor away from number one for a start. That'd be really cool. And it's available in iTunes as well if you want to buy it, and there's a link on the page and everything. So please, please, please go and buy this just because it's Christmas, and all the money from it is going to it's like an area of the school where people can go when they've got difficulties and stuff like that. So there you go. It's all going for a good cause. So St. Herbert's Roman Catholic Primary School, just Google that and buy the sodding single, okay? It's only a fiver. You get it on a CD. Do you remember those? There we go. All right, that's enough religion. You buying it, guys? Why are you still looking at me? Why aren't you buying it? It's all for the kids, mate. The Week in Apple, what's going on? What's been happening? 99% of fake Apple chargers sold online fail safety tests.
Yes.
That is going to be the biggest non-story of the week.
Ever. Is this story from this week or from, like...
Yes, today.
A couple weeks ago.
No, it's today. No. You're thinking of the one about the Amazon ones specifically. But this one was done by the UK's Trading Standards Department, who are a fine bunch of people, I have to say. I've had dealings with them in the past, and they're wonderful. But they've undertaken, using the Illinois Global Safety Specialists, UL, and insulation tests were applied to high voltage in the chargers to see what would happen. There was 8 different countries that were tested. They had 400 counterfeit chargers, and only 3 of them were found to have adequate insulation to deal with the charge.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
So that means if you get a slight overcurrent, you're all going to burn in your beds. So don't buy fake chargers.
I think that's a good...
Crazy. The
only thing that... Well, I guess it'd be a massive list to think. But, I mean, do these guys provide a list of the ones that have failed after they do all this testing?
If you go to Trading Standards...
Like, or brands, you know?
Yeah, they've put a press release out, and there's guidelines for purchasing in the UK for buying your chargers.
Okay, but... Oh, so... And these are just... fake ones that have Apple logos and things on them. 400 fake Apple ones.
Counterfeit chargers, yes.
Right. So this is not anything that's like, you know, testing Anker chargers or non-Apple certified third-party chargers.
No. This is, I mean, they've got pictures in their press release of burnt wiring and stuff like that. This is really, really, really badly corrupted stuff that's designed to get your money, you know, and it's got rough.
Right, to make you think you're getting an Apple charger when you're not.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, that's scary in and of itself, but I'd love somebody to be doing some testing of even, you know, chargers that claim to be Apple certified that maybe aren't. And nobody's talking about that problem either. I've often, you know, wondered and worried about that as well.
Yeah, no.
Like how hard is it to stick, you know, a MFI logo on your box even when you haven't, you know, certified it?
Yeah, piece of cake. They're giving some guidelines. Check that there's at least 9.5 millimeters between the edge of the pins and the edge of the charger. That's the minimum distance that there would be for avoiding electrical shock. Look out for markings, look out for the manager's brand name or logo, model and batch number if any of those are missing, and also check for the CE mark, which I think they'd all have been faked anyway.
I'm looking at the pictures in this thing, and yeah, they all have an Apple logo on them.
Yeah.
They all have the little certification logos on them. You know?
The other thing that we'd find though is if you look for the model and batch numbers, you'll probably find that the batch numbers are or the serial numbers for them aren't sequential. So
So you have to have more than one then, right?
Yeah, so that would be the telltale, I guess, for
that's the problem for this is like the average consumer is not going to know, you know. And I've seen this on Amazon and other places where they're claiming, you know, Apple certified charger. The one tip off usually is the price.
Well, yeah,
you know, if you're paying $4.99 for a new Apple certified charger, guess what?
Here's one of the big problems with the Amazon thing. Sadly enough, a lot of the guys who are selling those chargers on Amazon, they don't even know. Because what happens is there are a bunch of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a bunch of these multi-level marketing companies, sort of like that go around and they do these seminars on the weekends in various hotels throughout cities in the United States. As a matter of fact, there was literally one last weekend here in Honolulu. And what they do is they advertise on Facebook and Twitter like, oh, you know, come and learn how to make money online. Well, with the economy, you know, sort of being in the news, aptly reported as bad, even when it's good, people freak out. They start looking for side cash. So they go to one of these free seminars, and one of these seminars talks about how to sell things on Amazon, right? So what they do is they give you a list of things that you can buy right away, you know, maybe only spend like $1,000 on and get a whole bunch of chargers that you're paying like $2 a piece for, and you turn around and sell them on Amazon for double or triple. and it doesn't really cost you a lot of money. So for about $11.50, you can set up your whole Amazon account, buy all of these chargers, throw them up, and they sell because just the round robin of picks that go by, people end up buying them. So you got guys out there that are quote-unquote Amazon sellers selling stuff that they don't even know is dangerous because they're picking them up off of these specially designed sites that right. are sort of like skinned Alibabas that are designed for these, you know, these companies to let you buy things for super cheap from China.
Yeah. Like yeah. Biggest non-story of the week. I bought well, something I mean, that was counterfeit really cheap, but and it wasn't
it's good. It's safe. It's good we're talking about this because there's a story behind the story, right? And that's sort of what Doc's talking about.
Yeah, no. Apple is allegedly aware of and working to stop iCloud calendar spam. I've got to say, it's gone through the roof this week for me. I haven't declined so anything. They don't. I haven't done anything to confirm that I'm a real person on the other end of it. But I've started getting bloody NFL stuff now, as well as Ray-Ban.
You know how to stop it, right? And you know how to.
Oh, go on, but it doesn't work. I'm going to say before preempt. Go ahead. Tell us your trick.
The stopping it and deleting it without notifying.
Yep.
So if you want to delete it without notifying, what you do is, or best way that I found, or easiest way that I found, is you set up just add a new calendar to your iCal. You need your iCloud rather. We don't have iCal anymore. To iCloud, call it junk or spam or something like that. And then move the offending messages to that calendar and then immediately delete that calendar and you'll get a pop-up that says delete and do not notify.
Yes.
So you can click delete and do not notify and then that will delete all the entries and the calendar and not notify the sender that that you received anything.
There's apparently an even better solution in the iCloud settings somewhere. There was an article, I think I posted in the Slack room. In iCloud settings, you can say instead of showing every invitation directly in the calendar, you can get them just via email, and they usually come in via email. And then you can simply delete the email, and it's never even added to any calendar. So you don't, I mean, you could even set up a rule saying, okay, if you get this, kill it.
Yeah, the only problem with that is I like getting my calendar notifications in calendar when Ewan sends me a thing for the Mac show. So you can't. That's I mean, you could supposedly stop them completely. Are you saying that didn't work for you, Ewan?
So if you use iCal, then you can't. When you delete a calendar in iCal, it says they're going to find out. It doesn't let you change it in any way.
And then you have to be using this is all coming through iCloud.
Yeah.
So it's
you've got to go to iCloud online, I take it then to
No. So if you go into your calendar app on your Mac or on your iOS device and just add a new iCloud calendar, like you're creating a new calendar.
Doesn't work with iCal. Because when you delete the calendar.
You mean calendar, because we don't have iCal anymore.
Okay, sorry.
Calendar app.
Yeah. I'm saying iCal because it's fudging iCal, all right?
but I've done this a dozen times and it works for me.
Mine won't. Every time I try and delete the fake calendar, it says these people are going to be told.
There should be a big dialog box that comes up and you have two buttons. It says delete and notify or delete and do not notify. You have to click the one that's not the default button.
No, it doesn't give me that option in calendars.
Are you by any chance not on Sierra?
I'm on Sierra.
It's not even a Sierra thing because I've got it on.
It's the only thing I was.
So now I'm in I'm in iCal and I've got all of them moved into a new calendar spammers. But when I right click on spammers, I can't delete it.
What if you just select it and tap delete?
You want me to just highlight it? No. Doesn't work.
Weird. You've got something wrong.
Edit. Let's try edit. Okay.
There we go. You created the calendar not locally but inside iCloud.
In iCloud,
right?
It's worked. Yeah. Okay, it's done it now in iCloud, but it won't do it in calendar.
No. You have to make an iCloud calendar for this to work.
Yeah. All right. Sorted. Good. They're gone now. Thanks, James.
Woo!
And if you're still getting, but anyway, only the story is that Apple are aware of it finally, and they're doing something about
it. Way off the story.
We are sorry, apparently in a statement to René Ritchie, we are sorry that some of our users are receiving spam calendar invitations. We are currently working to address this issue by identifying and blocking suspicious senders and spam in the invites being sent. That is not the solution.
And by some of our users, they mean all. Because I have not found a single person who has not gotten one of these.
Yeah,
but has anybody gotten one of these?
I haven't.
So are they just
you
making...
have not?
Nope.
Holy crud.
See, this is what gets me is how my email address with Apple, I'm not giving it out over the air so you can all sod off. My email is not a proper word. It's a completely made up word. That you would never find anywhere. You wouldn't find it. It's not misspelt from a real word. It is nothing that you would ever find anywhere else. So if someone is putting in a random character generator to get this, they would never get this. So this, I'm thinking, how have you got this email address? Because you cannot get this email address through random function. It would, you know,
how long is the front part?
If you have, buy a raffle ticket. Go on.
How many characters is the front part?
10.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
It's 10 No, it's 10 characters, and it is not a proper word. It is completely random.
It doesn't matter. They just take every letter in the first position, every letter in the second position, up to 10 positions. A computer can do it, generate it in about a millisecond.
Christ. I'm not even sure about that part. Maybe they've gotten it from somewhere. From some site you used it for, or... maybe even from Apple directly through some means.
But I never buy anything through my iCloud account. It's always my .Mac account. It's always only the Apple stuff comes through there. And that's what makes me wonder something nefarious has happened here. But fair enough if it hasn't. But the solution to the problem is not to say that we're going to be blocked certain senders. The solution is to say, why can't I mean, as a general topic, why can't I delete an invitation request without telling the person?
Right.
I should be able to do that. It's my frigging calendar. It's my sodding life. And I don't care who you are. If I don't want your invitation, I shouldn't have to tell you that I've deleted it either.
And I'm surprised that it's not working, because I do that in my job, regularly, because sometimes I simply get invitations that are not that important to me, and I don't even want them to know that I'm not coming, because I'm just an optional participant anyway. So I will simply say, okay. And just
but that's the point.
Sorry.
If you click decline, it sends a decline notification. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's what
as I said, I don't even do that sometimes. So
there needs to be a decline, accept, maybe, write off.
Yeah. Decline and don't notify.
Yeah, right.
Or delete and don't notify, to be honest.
Hopefully that's the change they ultimately make.
That's not the impression of what I'm getting here.
The other thing is, you know, why not like you would with any other thing, have a whitelist filter? So, hey, if I want this setting that says if this person's not in my contacts, don't accept calendar invites from them, you know, or send
email
those
only,
to mail. Yeah. Send those to mail.
I don't want to do I don't want to do the mail thing, because that means there's an awful lot of stuff I'd probably miss.
No. But I mean, so the setting would be, if they're in my contacts, go ahead and put the invite into calendar. If they are not, just in case somebody sends me an invite and I haven't added them to my contacts, just throw that into mail. You know, let me get that one in mail so I don't miss it. But don't automatically put anything into my calendar if this is a person I don't already know.
Yeah. At least for iCloud, they could do that. I mean, it wouldn't work for bigger companies. I mean, we have a big address book, and I mean, if something comes from within our company, this is basically whitelisted. They could definitely do it.
For IT, they could tie that in, because I'm assuming you have an LDAP server, so they could tie it into your LDAP as well.
Yeah, it is, but it's not in my local address book, so. Would work.
Well done
somehow.
For recognizing.
They can work it out.
Well done for recognizing, Apple. Totally with you. Support it entirely, but blocking the senders is not the solution. Just give
that seems like
because the sender will simply change.
It seems great, but I'm just happy. I'd be happy with a piss off button. That's all I need.
Here's the thing: is Apple has a huge security team that's super smart. He's got super smart people in it. So, you know, hopefully that's just the quick reply they gave to, you know, public statement PR gave to Renee, and, you know, behind the scenes, I would imagine that Apple is thinking about it a little bit harder and longer than that statement would allude to.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and they probably need the same thing for iMessages and for anything else, because, I mean, you can be spammed on any of those. Basically, everywhere where you send a message to someone, there's a potential for spam.
Yeah, good. Well, hopefully it'll disappear soon and that'll be the end of it. That'd be nice.
Yeah, hope so.
Tim Cook has responded to a fan who says, the fan says, give us a release date. I really bought into the wireless vision that you painted. Now I'm stuck waiting with my earpods and can't imagine my 7 at the same time, which I need to do at work, and charge my 7 at the time, which I need to do at work. Let us know if it's a month or 6 months, then at least I'll buy some other wireless headphones. I'm going to buy something else. Oh, it's coming straight away. Yeah, honest. Tim Cook, thanks for your note. Sorry for the delay. We are finalizing them, and I anticipate we will begin to ship over the next few weeks. So you've got to have an order in the next week or 2 weeks, and then it's got to ship. Well, this is allegedly from the horse's mouth.
I'm only laughing because people need to understand Apple speak. He did not say a couple weeks. He did not say next week. He said a few weeks, and a lot of people are reporting, well, that means they're coming in December. No, not necessarily.
Right.
It's a few has to be less than 4, so...
sure about that?
Oh, I don't think there's a definition.
No, a few weeks means...
I mean, you could also mean 6 or 7.
Yeah, right, 8.
Okay, wait. Let's see, what do you
less
mean
than 10 definition?
I mean, I get it, but there's an implicit, right? A couple means 2. Right, it'll be done in a couple of weeks. All right, that's like 2 weeks. If you say a few weeks, okay, that's like 3 weeks. Anything past 3 or 4 weeks is actually a month.
Okay, but you're talking about like rational human being, not marketing, you know, speak, not Apple speak. That's my only point.
I think it would be super dangerous to say a few weeks and then come out 2 months later. Well, and then try to say that, oh, that was a few. No one's going to let that slide.
Yeah, but I mean, if I had to guess, I would say either they ship it in the next 2 weeks or after or next year. So more than 4.
If they are not shipping right now, they're not making December and they're not going to rush to do it. I mean, if we can't order them right now, there's no way they're coming in my opinion, coming in December. I'd be shocked.
I think it will be absolutely awesome for them to be ready on the 26th. And tell you why, because then they can play the whole stupid line of, hey, now you got Christmas money from your grand, go buy these headphones. Because everybody gets Christmas money from their grand. Even grown-ass adults get Christmas money from someone. So,
they could do the same thing and ship them, announce them on the 26th and say shipping on the, I don't know, 7th of January or something.
Only a week after your announcement.
Think about this. You know how much pent-up demand is sitting here for these. Apple's already missed the holiday window. If they are smart, they're making these things like mad throughout December, so they have a huge quantity, so they don't have the Apple Pencil situation all over again. You know? Mm. Why not just build up the inventory? You've already blown it. What's the point of rushing them out at this point?
Mm. People are already pissed. Because the stores aren't designed to build inventory.
Yeah. Why not build up the inventory and not have Apple, the stupid...
Because the stores aren't designed to build inventory. Apple's corporation isn't designed to build inventory. They don't build inventory for anything. We're a JIT.
Well, no, they have 4 to 6 weeks channel inventory usually.
Yeah, that's JIT still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have bought 3 pairs of these. You know, if they'd have said, and you can order them now... at the keynote, I'd have bought 3 pairs that night. And now, I think I probably will buy a set for me just to try. And I might end up giving them away to Ellis if I don't use them much. But I don't use earphones an awful lot. But you know, I was all for it. And now I'm just kind of like, meh. Can't be asked.
It is starting to get the, I don't even care right now, possibility. You know what I mean?
It's not changing.
Definitely starting to get there.
I raved about them the night of the keynote. They were awesome. I loved them to bits. I would have bought them there and then. And now I just think, well, I got better things to spend my money on.
Yep.
There you go. And Doc's already drunk his, so. Apple is using drones to improve its new data collection for Apple Maps. Apple is putting together a team of robotics and data collection experts who will use drones and new indoor navigation features. I don't know if they're flying the drones indoors to bolster and further improve the quality of Apple Maps. It's trying to catch up with Google in inverted commas. But are Apple Maps as shit as they ever were? Because I don't think they are.
No, for some people still.
They've gotten way, way better.
I think they're great.
They still have some holes. When I talk to people and want to talk about maps on the show, I will get people who send me specific examples of where they're in an area that just hasn't been addressed or specifically, like there was the latest one that I knew about a couple months ago, and I don't know if Apple has fixed it, is there was a huge new highway project that went in back in February, I think, in Texas. And as of June or August, Apple still had not updated this giant, you know, it was a multi, you know, couple dozen mile section of new highway that had opened up. And Google was there day one, and Apple, you know, 8 months after it opened, still wasn't updated.
Well, that's not good. No, I mean, I was thinking it's like, you know, if you're saying that they're not updating areas where, you know, it would actually probably be safe to hold Burning Man or something like that, then I'm not going to give them any.
No. This was a major, like, through Austin, you know, highway project that they did update on time.
Fair enough. That's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apple wants to fly drones around to do things like examine street signs, track changes to roads, and monitor areas if they are under construction. The data collected would be sent to Apple teams. I mean, the other thing that questions me here is who's got the licensing for this? Because you're talking about flying a drone up to a road sign. You can't fly a drone over a roadway, a public roadway in the UK at all.
Right.
So how the hell are they going to do? They're not certainly not doing it in the UK, not legally anyway. And I can't believe the US.
Well, they have done the flyovers, which I'm not sure, but I would guess there are drones as well. At least they looked like them. I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that.
In the States, I think you can get clearance through the FAA now if you post. There's ways to get licensing for this. Approvals for this. I mean, Amazon's looking at it. Australia seems to be the most open at this point, as near as I can tell, for like drone stuff.
Yeah,
it depends on the region and country.
Like I said, a street sign in the daytime just seems a little bit. Doc, are you struggling, mate? You want to go back to bed?
No, I'm just thinking about this because, like, for us, I mean, Apple Maps are relatively flawless, but I mean, we only have a 110-mile circle to map out. So, I mean, there's that. But I think they could do street signs without flying over the roadways. You could fly side by side to the roadways and still shoot what you got to shoot. You can fly with the propellers akimbo.
Okay. Fair enough.
What? That's an honest statement. You don't have to fly over the road in order to shoot a sign. Signs are huge.
It depends what you talk about with street signs, whether you're talking about a street corner in
New York, example.
St. Louis or something like that, or in the Latin quarters or the French quarter or something like that in Louisiana.
I think the other thing you have to think about is like the scope of what we're talking about. I mean, this could be a supplemental thing to supplement cars, and it could be for more probably where they have the trouble areas, which is probably a lot more remote regions. So, you know, here in the States, you've got all these places where they're just way out of the way, and like you're not on a main thoroughfare, and it's out in a wooded area, and there's like one lane road, you know, going, or two lane road going, you know, off in the distance. So, you know, I would imagine it's just another part of their plan. It's one small segment. It's not like they're going to be doing all of their mapping with drones.
No. Yeah, I want to be able to just say, Siri, hey, where's a good place to hide the bodies? And then she'll open up Apple Maps and show me, like, you know, here's a volcano that recently erupted or something like that.
It'll be high resolution and you'll see a finger pointing out of the soil. That's where the Donovans put them. Bob in the chat room saying, no, Apple Maps is very good for me at the moment. Quite happy. Rob is saying that you can get £4.15 Apple gift cards for iTunes for £49 at Costco at the moment.
Yep.
Good saving. And Magic Man says they're buggered in Sweden then, because last week's photo show said the you can't use a drone with a camera on it because it breaches surveillance legislation without a permit from the government. So, yeah.
Wow.
Irony of ironies, a report has come out listing the highest customer satisfaction for routers, and 2016 was won by the discontinued Apple Air report.
I love my AirPort. It's the most reliable, one of the most reliable routers that I've ever owned.
I've not heard. I'm the only person that's come out with a negative, and all of the others have come out with, everyone else that I've spoken to has come out with positives. No one I've found hates their AirPort Extreme.
Well, I love mine except for one thing, and in a way, I understand why they didn't do it, but it's just dumb to me. Apple routers never had a really good QoS, you know, set up. So you never had a way to say, okay, I'm going to take my VoIP phone and I want you to guarantee connection to the VoIP phone if and when it should ring. And most other routers have that built in. And also considering the HomePlay stuff, for as long as they've been working on it, like the routers never got to there. Them missing from Apple's inventory kind of doesn't really bother me as much as people had like a cow. It's not like there's no other routers out there. It's not like almonds aren't freaking fantastic or any of the things that you can either build yourself or the new stuff that's out there, like this little weird, I forgot the name of it, but it's a little weird crooked guy that looks like one of those things on a ship. But you plug it in and it just listens to all devices all of a sudden, sets itself up. It's amazing. So, I mean, there's so much good stuff out there. I'd rather see them focus on something else.
Batwing, she's correcting your pronunciation of the word router. Router. It's a router in the UK. Router in the UK.
A router is a guy that comes, clears the crap out of my pipes.
Exactly. A router to us is a guy with a K1500 spade that he subs into your pipes to pull all the crap out.
your knowledge is a little too in-depth there, mate.
I did it all through high school. That was my job.
Oh, nice. Shoveled shit for an entire semester. Apple is going to obsolete a number of appliances from 2009 to 2011. The MacBook Pro 15-inch early 2011 might go. The 17-inch early 2011 might go. The Mac Mini early 2009 might go. And the MacBook 13-inch mid-2009 would go. To mine, I did a quick bit of research, which is unlike me, I do grant you. But my research suggested that the 2009 models there are already obsoleted anyway. They can't go to Sierra, that's for sure. So,
is that what MacTracker said?
Unless obsolete says something else. Well, the one I got was OS X Sierra compatibility. It's only available on the Mac Mini from 2010 and later. The MacBook from late 2009 and later may still be okay, but the Mac Mini from 2009 is a no-go, according to this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to be proved wrong. It was only a Google search. I could well be
wrong. The early 2009 is currently only at vintage status,
so
which is still supported.
So what does obsolete mean then? I would have said it would just be it couldn't take the current OS, but...
If you walk it, I think it's the kind of thing, if you walk it into the Apple Store, they're pretty much not going to help you.
Exactly what it means. When someone walks into the Apple Store, and normally the cutoff used to be almost exactly 5 years to the day, when someone comes in and they say, hey, you know, I have a Manapua iMac, which is a lampshade iMac to you guys, say I want to get this fixed, we look at them and we say, yeah, sorry, this is obsoleted. We can take a look at it. If there's something software-wise we can fix, but if there's any hardware, we can't touch it. Because it turns out a lot of times you mess with these obsoleted devices, just opening them will cause something else to break because it's already started heated and dry-rotted in place kind of thing. You know what I mean? So you start messing with it and it comes apart. So we just leave it alone and we tell them we can't touch it.
Okay.
Yeah. So the vintage, I think they'll still, like, they can still ship it back to the thing, and if they have parts for it, they can do something with it.
It's called Depot. You ship it to Depot.
Depot.
While we're on the subject of obsolete equipment,
Patrice.
No, what? Huge thanks to Calgary Guru. I didn't credit Les Field last week. Thank you, Les, because he's the one that sent me the System 7 discs that work with my my prototype Mac SE. But Calgary Guru has sent me through all the versions for obsolete OSs that he's got, that Apple sent to him. So he sent them all over on StuffIt files that I could just go to unpack. But the next problem is I then need to buy a disk drive that can burn an 800K floppy. But Bronwyn and Muller have found 800K floppies. So it's getting more complicated than I thought. But thanks for those people that have tried to help. I do appreciate it. If anyone could just turn up with some disks that will work in my computer, I'll give you 50 quid. Save me the aggravation. trying to work around all of this. So
I put the link in the chat room, but I was a little off. Apple has a Tech Info article on vintage versus obsolete. So vintage are basically products that have been not manufactured for more than five years, but less than 7 years. And Apple has discontinued hardware service with a few exceptions. So there's certain states and countries that have exceptions for vintage products. Obsolete is more than 7 years ago, and there's no exceptions.
Cool.
On hardware service.
I've already decided, though, when I do get a set of discs, I'm going to go into the Apple Store. I'm going to book a Genius appointment at the Apple Store at Touchwood, and I'm going to go in because I've got the original bag that this prototype came in with, the original keyboard, the original mouse, absolutely everything, and I'm going to go in and say, sorry, chaps, can you, I'm having a bit of trouble, can you help me? It'd be great. It'd be good if the press was there or something like that, wouldn't it?
Really, hey, I told you you should write an email to Tim and ask for the disk or for the OS.
Yeah, I should. I really should.
They may send it to you.
They may. They may. Yeah. But then they may look at previous episodes of this show and go, what? Wanker. I would be an
You know
epic
who you could
troll.
Reach out to who probably could help you too is Stephen Hackett over at 512pixels. com.
Okay.
He's very much into the vintage Mac stuff. He has a bunch of them himself. He may have.
Isn't he the one with the old 13 original iMacs?
Yeah, I can't remember all the machines.
I think he is. He's the one.
He did the video of the Apple book where it was the actual products versus, you know, so here's the picture in the book and here's the actual product video. Did you guys see that?
Right.
That's funny. I thought you were going to say Steven Sandy just because he's a vintage Mac guy.
He's a podcaster. He runs, what's that network that he runs?
Relay FM.
Relay, thank you.
Yeah.
Right, okay. 512pixels.net. I will be getting in touch. Righto. Stephen Hackett. Is that him?
Yep. Good guy.
Right, Steve, you're getting an email. Thanks very much, mate. And thanks to those people who tried to help. Do appreciate it. It may take me a while to get it running, but I will. I am determined to get it running, absolutely. The 5K big version screen LG thing's available. $974 or £30,000.
£30,000.
Anyone buy one?
No.
No.
It just breaks my heart. I'm sat here looking at two 34-inch LG monitors that were absolutely gorgeous that cost me £1,000 each. And I love them to bits. And they still work fine and they still calibrate just fine. And I'm not going to change them. But then I'm looking at those going, oh, that'd be really cool. But actually, I might buy one if one of these craps out or something. But I'm not going to buy them. They do look awesome, though. They are. Rob in the chat room said... that it's they're awesome looking screens, and they are. I bet they're absolutely stunning. Up front, I bet they're really, really good. So
I've heard nothing but good things from people who have written me to say they picked up the 4K one. I don't know about the 5K one.
If someone made me an offer and said, "Oh, all right, Ewan, I'll have yours off you for 500 quid, you know, each." There we go. Would you buy them?
Right. I mean, they're much more affordable than Apple's ones were.
About the same price, aren't they? $1,000. As were £1,000 over here, so.
Oh, well.
$899, I think, was the cheapest they ever got. But.
Mm. Can you drive the 5K with, I mean, anything but the new MacBook Pros?
I think my Mac Pro would do it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it would. And the new MacBook would do it. The old MacBook won't. I know I mean, it's supposed to drive two of these, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. You can get one at a Dell outlet for about £600, says Rob. Dell Ultra Sharp. That's the one that you want, allegedly.
Yeah, someone in our office has one. Those are actually pretty good.
Excellent.
System requirements, according to Apple's website, say Thunderbolt 3 enabled Mac.
Oh, so that won't be my Mac Pro then?
But can't you use the adapter, Thunderbolt 2 to 3 adapter?
I'm just giving you the system requirements according to Apple.
What might be interesting?
Yeah, it might be powerful enough, but...
Mm.
Yeah, it may be the throughput that's the issue.
Mm-hmm. Rob's still saying they are also HDMI.
Yeah, but they're not going to run HDMI at 5K, are they?
Nope.
No. That's not going to manage that. Right, if you we didn't cover this when it came out, but if you've got an iPhone 6S, there is an issue with the batteries, which there's a repair program for. It happened a couple of weeks back, but Apple have updated a tool now. So there's an updated page for the iPhone 6S program, which allows you to put in your serial number and see whether your 6S is eligible for free battery replacement. Do we know how many units they're looking at this expanding
to? Looks like a lot. Mine is in the range. I have my appointment set for Monday, and we'll see. I've heard from a couple of people who brought theirs in and were told they ran a test on it, and then Apple said, no, yours isn't having a problem, so we're not replacing it, even though it was in the serial number range, which I've been also told is bunk, so I don't know what the reality or real answer is yet, so we'll find out.
So we still don't know the policy on this, whether it's if you're in the range, then you definitely get an upgrade or replacement.
Right, that seems to be the case. Like, I don't, as far as I know, because I handed the wife down my phone, this phone down my wife, I asked her, she said she's not been having battery issues, but I'm going to try to go in and have it replaced, so we'll see how Apple responds.
Handed down your wife to your phone?
I handed down my phone to my wife. It's early, man.
I swapped the wife for an iPhone 6 and some magic beans. No, I mean, so Ellis has got one. I need to do the test on this and see whether it is or not. But just to be clear, we're not suggesting that the batteries are like a Note 7, are we? They're just faulty. They're not blow up the place.
The issue, as near as I can tell and what I've been told, is that some people are finding their battery will report they're at, 30 to 50% range, and the phone will just shut down.
Yeah.
Right. But so I had a lot of problems with my battery where it would get down to a certain point and then it would switch off. And
that's the issue. That's the issue.
I had that on my 6. It did that on my 6, but then I reinstalled the upgrade and it disappeared. Yeah. That was just a software issue, I guess. But
It sounds that sounds the same. It sounds like that's what people are experiencing, where the battery, the device will be reporting, hey, I've got 20 to 50% battery, yet it'll still shut down and then come back with a dead battery. It won't boot up until they charge it. Yeah, so.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. And the rest of you, of course, are far too modern to be bound by a 6S.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's a 6S?
What's a 6S?
6S. That's so last year.
Absolutely. No question.
Well, I better check it, though, because mine is currently in Karen's purse right now, so I'll check it tonight.
You hand your wife down as well, then?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I handed my wife down. Definitely.
That should be the show title. My wife, I handed my wife down.
I handed my wife... Oh, steady on now. Oh, she reads it. I have that issue with my iPhone 5, Matt Cass, says Bronwyn. Reinstalled and updated everything, still messed up, and that's why I'm getting a 7.
Well, an iPhone 5 is probably at the end of its battery life, right?
Just I would guess so.
For cycles, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be that. Just be that. Is there any big stories I've missed? Because that seems about it as far as I could find. There's not a lot, is
No, there wasn't a lot.
That was it this week. So you might need to be me catch net for the future, you know, just... Chuck Latornis is coming back on. He couldn't come this week, but he's definitely going to come back in a few weeks. So I'm excited about that. That'd be cool. Welcome back, Chuck. And Chuck Joyner will come on, but he's tied up this week. And they're all at something in California, aren't they? Mac Web or Web... something or other. I saw Jeff
Gavin. Oh, that was last week, the Mac Tech conference.
Yeah, I know there's a different thing on at the moment. Because
Jeff is now in Philadelphia at WordCamp USA, right, or WordCamp World or whatever. It's the main WordPress conference.
Because he's not coming on Big Show because he's a flake. Okay. This podcast and all these is brought to you by UK2. Thanks ever so much for them for supporting us. They're great. We can't do anything without them. They absorb all the bandwidth. They give us all the server space. We've got every show we've ever made going back to the date, the Bagel Tech days, you can hear it. They give us the live server. They give us the not quite live server. So this is when we post all of the crap that we've done in the past at random, and you can... you can see shows that go right the way back to the beginning days. And it's just great. Thanks to them for looking after us. Please, please, please support them just because they support us. If you want anything for the web, they're a great company as well. They've got great services and they've got good customer service and they will support you brilliantly. Go to UK2 via our website, so britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 if you want to sign into your account. And if you go there using that link, then you can also use the offer codes which are on britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll get up to 20% off your basket. And that is for all customers. And that includes renewing services. So if you're about to renew your website because you bought from UK2, you can still use our offer codes and get the 20% off. Well worth doing. And if you're in America at the moment and you're going, oh, well, yeah, but I'm in America, so I don't want to use UK2. They're a global firm. You can use them, no problem. And at the current rate of the pound to the dollar, I mean, fill your boots is my view, because it's probably cost you an awful lot less. Proper people. Proper services. Thanks to Hoyer as well for looking after us because they're brilliant. Uniku is coming after Christmas. That's going to be something special. If you want to look at the others, the Avantex, the ones that I wear and Muller wears, then go to podcast@hoyer.co.uk. They'll arrange fitting and all that kind of stuff. And you can go there and just get an eye test and get your fitting done at your local opticians with the Hoyer rep there. And they'll tell you about Uniku. And when Uniku hits next year, you can buy Uniku as well from them. So it's going to be a real big launch when that happens off in the UK. It should be brilliant. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Adam.
Oh, hey. You're starting off with me and I'm doing something else. I tune out the ads. Sorry. I've heard them many times and I know to support those guys. Support them. My pick is going to be... I think I'm going to go with the Broken Token stuff. So I think I put a link in the chat earlier. I'll put it in there again. If you are into board games like I am, and it's getting to the holidays and we'll end up, you know, playing a lot of board games as friends and family come in to do things, and I have a lot of board games, what the Broken Token is they create these really cool laser-cut box inserts. So, you know, you get the game, and they usually give you little plastic bags, and usually the box isn't all that well organized, and you've got all kinds of bits and pieces and stuff that you want to keep separated. Make setup easier. These guys make these really cool laser cut wood inserts that you get. They come kind of flat packed and you punch them out, which is fun in and of itself, and you assemble them and then they go inside the original box that the game came in, but then it gives you little slots for all the little bits and pieces. And they have tons of games on their website. They're organized by the game title or the publisher, and you can find them for all sorts of things. And then they have some additional accessories, like I think if you're into doing like what's that, Warhammer with the little figurines, they have a and I think you called it a spice rack, Ewan, which it probably would work for as well, a little like paint set for like organizing your paint sets. And then they just have all kinds of other like little accessories, dice towers and things like that. It's just a really cool company, and they're local here in San Diego, which is how I found out about them, and they've really expanded their product line. So if you're into board games or anything like that, Checking them out. I think it's thebrokentoken.com.
Now, you started off by saying this might not be great for the UK listeners, but it's great for America.
Right.
But we've actually found that you can get these from Amazon in the UK. And you can also buy from thebrokentoken.com. And apparently there's a brokentoken.co.uk as well as. And there's a heated debate raging now about where's the cheapest place to buy it, because although you can get it from the .co.uk, apparently it's cheaper to buy it from the .com. But then no one's thought about shipping maybe and rates and all the Brexit bend over. So there's a lot of these. There's quite a few of these in the Amazon store, but some of them are wildly ridiculous in price. They're like up to $120, $150. So
yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, it's a commercial company. It'd be great if they would sell the plans. I mean, I'd love it if they would sell like the CNC plans for these maybe at a cheaper price for people, but I don't think they do that.
It's really easy to make those plans.
Yeah.
But that's their business, right? I mean, they took all the time to figure out every single one of these games and how to optimize the box storage. I mean, it's amazing. I have a game that I love called The King of Tokyo, and I went to like a gameplay day, which is how I found out about this company, and I got that, and it's like one of my favorite things. Every time I open up that game, it's like, oh, this is so nice. Everything's just organized. There's a slot and spot for every little piece, and again they design it for the original box that the game came in, so it fits perfectly inside. You know, you're not having to get a new box or anything like that. So
yeah,
it's just cool
when they get all smashed and stuff flies all over the place, is rubbish.
What do they do with licensing? Because I mean, presumably if you bought Monopoly, but Monopoly go through the roof if you've got a box for this.
Yeah, I mean, this is more like the people that are really into the games.
Yeah,
games,
it's the desktop games.
Games market.
Yeah.
Tabletop games. These are all tabletop games.
Good stuff, mate. Great pick. Like that. I need to sit and think about what I'm going to do, because my first was I had a lustful idea of purchasing everything that I could see in sight, but I'm going to have to think a bit more now. Great pick. Doc, what have you got for us?
All right, I got two. One real quick and then one a little bit more to the vest. If you're on Amazon Prime, you're going to want to check out Grand Tour Season 1. It is the new offerings, sort of basically built and directed by Amazon Prime's video team. And Grand Tour, a.k.a. GT, is Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond, and James May doing what they normally do. But it's so much different without the handcuffs of a major network in the UK. So they had a lot more freedom on Amazon. They kind of could do whatever they want. And it is well done. The camera work is better than ever before, which I didn't think was possible. Just the whole setup is nice. And now they move the show from place to place to place, so it isn't always in the same studio. They basically got GP Large, which is a military tent, and they set it up in various locations. And there's only 3 episodes out now. And unlike most of these streaming programs, they put them out every Friday instead of just one glop at one time. But it's super, super good. So you got to watch it.
You know that tent's not real, don't you?
What?
You know that tent's not real. They're not actually in that tent. They're in a studio.
Well, it's... okay, I got it. But they're not... They're moving from...
That's right. I just wanted to check. That's fine. No. Yeah. I agree entirely with your pick. I just wanted to check you weren't being deceived there by yourself.
But if you did have a GP Large, you could easily fit that many people in it. Because that's what we use for command base in the military. Normally a cafeteria or a hospital. That's what we use.
I don't doubt it. So. Yeah. So anyway, having watched the Grand Tour this weekend and the episode from Whitby, I'm pretty sure it really is done in a tent. I do apologise, Doc. The only thing I can say in my defence is it's the first time they've interacted with the outside world when they brought the bubble car in, and it was clear that they really are in Whitby on the quayside. So. It really is still in a tent. Sorry.
Anyway, my real pick. Telestream has ScreenFlow 6 now, and if you've done any screen capturing or whatnot, 6 is a paid upgrade if you don't already have it. It's $99 app if you're brand new to the game. It's like $35 to do the upgrade. But one of the things that they've added, which is really, really cool, is if you're recording a screencast from your iPhone, it will actually capture the iPhone audio, and you can monitor the iPhone audio at the same time you're playing it, which used to be kind of a pain in the butt, but now they sort of fixed it. And it's literally one of the easiest screencasting tools out there. If you ever had a need to screencast, I highly recommend ScreenFlow 6.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Do you like ScreenFlow? Thanks to Telestream as well, because they do ScreenFlow, and we've got Wirecast Pro thanks to them. So they're wonderful. They've supported us lovely over the years. I do appreciate them. Right then, Patrice, wait, you would bait your breath off you go. Oh, is that you again, Doc?
Huh?
That was you again. Because Batwinge put a link in and it pinged on your end. We're still getting your Ping. We're still getting your audio through our ears.
That doesn't make sense because my system says headphones. My everything is off on notifications. It's only textual.
Oh, well.
Because Facebook is going crazy all morning. No one said anything.
Oh, well. Go on then, Patrice.
I'm very happy that nobody picked this because this is, I was fearing Doc would pick it. It is Spark for the Mac, my favorite ever email app. I've tried plenty. I was a heavy user of Airmail for quite a while, but I was always using Spark on the iPhone, and now it's finally on the Mac. It's already best of the App Store by Apple. I don't know best of what, best of this week, this year. I don't know, but it was picked by Apple. It is a really, really great app. What they do, what is different than I think most apps is, they have a unified inbox and they automatically categorize the incoming messages for you. And I think it even uses some type of machine learning to learn how you are categorizing it. So it will show you the notifications and newsletters and stuff like that in a specific, boxes or categories or whatever you want to know call it. And it's really, really good app developed by Riedel, I think, right? Yeah, Riedel.
Yes.
Our favorite all-time favorite company ever. I have been on the betas for all their apps over the last couple of years. So really good company, great app. As far as I know, it's free for right now.
Who picked Sparks the other week?
I did last week, but it was the preview. It was
the beta. Sign up
for the public beta.
Yeah, well,
yeah. It is now available for free on the App Store.
Yeah, it's gone live in the Mac Show, in the Mac Store. Mac Show, Christ, what an idiot! My cool thing. First of all, don't forget stherberts.oldham.sch.uk. They're the people that have Nigel Milligan, one of our listeners, is the IT guy there, and he's recorded this using Logic 10 and microphones that they've got at the school. And it's a great production of a Christmas song by the kids for the primary school, and all the money is going to go to a new wing at the school that's going to help a load of people. So go to that link, stherberts.oldham.sch.uk, and buy the sodding CD, you bar humbag type bastards. Don't play that to the kids, Nigel, right? Bleep that bit. Well, don't play on this show at all, Christ. My cool thing then on top of that is Typorama. Now, if you like making stuff for YouTube or something like that and you want your splash screen ready to go, then you can take a freeze frame from your video, dump it out in Final Cut, and then send that freeze frame into your Typorama app. And it will. You open the app up, you go to your photos library, you pick it down, and then you pick the text of how you want to set it up. It's got a load of predefined, templates for the way you want the text to be. You put the tape in, and then you save it as a JPEG, and then you export that, and you use that as your custom JPEG in YouTube. And if you've just got a splash, you know, like a video that you want to have a splash screen up with a slogan on it, you can stop the video, splash this up, and then carry on again. It's great. It's brilliant, brilliant application. A lot of the text that's in it's really kind of cool, and it does look really, really good. So. And I think it's free. Yeah, it's free. There's loads of extra effects you can buy and stuff like that, but actually the basic set that you can get for free is pretty good. So
if you really like it, you drop them $6, it unlocks everything. Yeah. Then you can kind of do everything.
It's easily worth that amount of money. Easily worth that amount of money.
This is very similar to the Adobe Spark one, but I like the fact that some of the banners and stuff in there are probably a little bit easier to set up. The Spark one, it's good if you know what you're doing, but if you're a newbie, you'd probably be struggling with it. This is cool. And Canva just got too expensive.
Yeah, no, I was I was talking to my local golf pro, and he makes YouTube videos, and I helped him with a few things with it, and he said I'll use this, and he showed me how he was using it. I'm like, hang on, mate. And I showed him some of the presets that are on it, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, that's much better. And he's instantly overnight improved all of his custom screens. Just brilliant. Gone back and done the old stuff as well. Good picks there, good picks. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
You can find me over at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes. Also, every week on the iOS show at theiosshow.com. And if you're on social media, it's maccast pretty much every place. So.
I forgot. I do apologize. We've had a review from Dude Man in LA, and his review is thanks. That's it. Dude Man, that's why you're the dude, clearly. Clearly. That's a Coen Brothers level of review. Oh, aye. Who started the washing machine?
That sounds like gardeners.
And I just want to say, Mr. Darkness has also left a review for Kyle for the news show. If you haven't listened, we've got the news show, which is on every single day. Kyle does 5 minutes on the latest tech, what's been happening, all the big stories. And he's put, quick, humorous tech news. This is my favorite tech podcast. A sometime hilarious look at the day's news. Quick, yet concise, and superbly hosted by the irreverent Mr. Kyle Swagger. Always look forward to my 5 minute daily news fix. That 5 minute show probably takes about 3 hours for Kyle to make. So please make sure you give him some reviews and give him some kudos for doing it at Kyle Swagger on Twitter. Doc, where are you, mate?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on the offshore podcasts at offshorepodcast.com.
Cheers, mate. And Patrice.
As always, almost every week here on The Mac Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can get us at British Tech on Twitter as well. We're going to be back next week as normal. It's going to be on Friday at 4 p.m. UK time, same old time as we were when we very first started. We began at 4 p.m. It should be fun. We've got loads of people coming up over the next few weeks, and after Christmas, it goes vertical, I promise you. Have a great time, have a good week, and thanks for listening.